We just absolutely praise you. We worship you. We glorify your name this beautiful day, Father God. Hallelujah. Father God, I just thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us. I thank you, Lord, that revelation knowledge is flowing freely, unhindered and unrestricted by satanic forces or demonic hindrances. Lord, think through my mind, speak to my vocal cords. You know the needs of your people that have gathered here today. We thank you that we are filled to capacity as always, Father God, overflowing and growing in who we are and what we have in Jesus. Now let your word go forth. Confirm it with signs and wonders, changing people's lives, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, we're going to talk about a word-controlled life. A word-controlled life. This is part three of our series that we've been talking about, living from the inside out. Hallelujah. So let's get right on into it. Living a victorious Christian life is all about abiding in God's word and allowing his spirit to transform us from the inside out. So it's important that we understand that. True salvation produces a desire for godliness. This is very important for us to understand this. True salvation, if you're saved for real, not pretense, it fills your heart with a desire for godliness. So this desire for godliness, God empowers us by the Holy Spirit to make that a reality through his grace. Again, God empowers us by the Holy Spirit to make that a reality in our hearts and our minds. He makes it a reality, the ability to live a godly lifestyle. I talked about this. Godliness is the prerequisite to the blessings of God. Mm-hmm. All righty. So it starts with a desire. And that's the desire he wants us to have in our hearts. So his grace comes and it anchors us in a living relationship with Jesus. Again, the grace anchors us with a living relationship with Jesus, not our church, with Jesus. When you give your life to Jesus, you become the church. You know, I was thinking about this morning. Lord was dealing with me with this, that it's important. He wants me to tell his people this, that your relationship is more important to him than your service to him. Say this again. Your relationship to him and with him is more important to him than your service unto him. So we can serve all day long in church. There's a lot of people going straight to the pit of hell that's serving in church because they don't have a true relationship and they're not living a godly lifestyle unto him. But anyway, so in this teaching, we're going to learn why abiding in the word is the foundation of a Christian's success, how a genuine desire for godliness opens the door to transformation, the role of grace and salvation in empowering us to live holy, and the difference between religion and relationship with God, and some practical steps to live a word-controlled life daily. Glory to God. Word, man, I like that. Living a word-controlled life. Glory to God. All right, let's get into section one. Section one, godliness must be your heart's desire. Why are you going to church? Is it to live godly or is it to serve on some board? Is it to be a preacher? Your identity can't be in your service. Your identity has to be in your sonship. Glory to God. Man, he coming out the gates with revelation today. Glory to God. That's the glory, the Holy Ghost. Godliness must be a true desire of a person's heart. To live a word-controlled life means allowing scriptures to guide your decisions and your choices. So the scriptures guide our decisions and our choices in life that we make. The word produces or provides us with instructions on how to live godly, how to live a godly lifestyle, keeping us within the boundaries of God's goodness, the goodness of his love provided for us in Christ Jesus. So the purpose of living godly, as you know how I teach, and I'm going to always say it, that is we live godly so it'll go well with us. That's why we live godly. Not to show people how religious we are, how intellectually student sound we are in the scriptures. We live right and a godly life so it'll go well with us. So Jesus said, blessed are those, look what he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So in Matthew, That's in Matthew 5:6. So this shows us that one must hunger and thirst for righteousness or godliness. You got to thirst. You got to hunger and thirst for it. So what does that mean? It's real simple. It means people that are not hungry and thirsty for it is not going to go after it. So what are you going? What are you hungry and thirsty for? Money? Well, you got sinners that got plenty of money. So money shouldn't be your goal when you go to church. You understand what I'm saying? Now God prospers us because we don't do a teaching. Because when the just or the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice in the city. So he wants godly people. So you need godly politicians. See, y'all know why y'all picking sides, man. You need some godly people there. All right, let's move on with that. So again, it shows that you must hunger and thirst for this godliness. You got to hunger and thirst. You got to want to be right, to be right. See, God helps those that want to be helped by him. He'll help you to live godly if you want to live godly. Those that don't want to live godly, well, you know, he don't help them. Why? Because he's not going to violate your will. But us here, we're here because we want to live godly.
Amen.
We're here to practice righteousness. We got our book. We got our Bible. We got our pens and papers. We're taking notes. Why? Because we plan on going home reviewing what the Lord is saying to us today. See, if you're a sports player, you go home and you review the plays. You go over the game plan. Glory to God. Yeah. See, God got a game plan for your life, and you got to go over the game plan.
Yes.
And a lot of people ain't successful in life because they don't want to go over the game plan. Well, you got to do it. That's what you got to do to succeed. Mm-hmm. All right. Section one, still godliness must be your heart's desire. So the love of money and power more than, man, than God is the root to all evil. In 1 Timothy 6:6-10, it says, but godliness, this is out of the Amplified version, by the way. But godliness actually is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. You see that? I'm reading from the bigger screen here. So it is a source of great gain when accompanied by contentment. That contentment which comes from a sense of inner confidence based on the sufficiency of God. You see that? It's an inner. See, we're still talking about the inner, living from the inside out. It's an inner confidence. Your confidence is on the out. It's not on the outside. Your confidence is in God on the inside. You do know he lives in you. If you don't know that, then you ain't heard the gospel. You're just a church. You're just a church goer and a pew sitter. You're not hearing the gospel. He lives in me. He lives in you. All right. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. He dwells with men on the inside now. If you ain't saved, he ain't in you. If you ain't practicing, listen, if you live in a life of sin, going to the nightclub and cussing and swearing, still drinking and all that foolishness, and then you say, well, you know, God blessed me. No, he didn't. God don't bless sinners. He's merciful to sinners. He overlooks their stupidity, but he's not sending you blessings. You're just being like any other person, working every day, going to work and making money from Pharaoh's system. It was on my head. Oh, man, I got stuff on. Thank you. All right. So anyway, let's move on. Verse 7, it says, for we have brought nothing into the world, so it is clearly that we can take nothing away out of it either. Verse 8, but if we have food, clothing, with these, we will be content. See? Food, some nice threads on. We cool, man. Don't be a money chaser. Don't chase money. Don't chase fame and fortune. You know, all that's built into the package of salvation. It comes to you. Money cometh to you. Grace and favor come to you. Promotions and positions come to you because you're his righteousness so that you can make righteous judgments in the land. All righty. Verse 9, it says, but those who are not financially ethical, did you see that? And crave to get rich, with a compulsive greed, longing for wealth, fall into temptations and trap, and into many foolish and harmless desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction, leading to personal misery. Verse 10, for the love of money, that is the greed desire, the greedy desire for it, and the willingness to gain it, all sorts of produces all sorts of evil. To gain it unethically is the root of all sorts of evil, and some by losing, longing for it with a wandering, and have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves through a deep, through and through with deep and many sorrows. Forgive me for all that mumble jumble there. But what he's basically saying is, when you chase money, you're in trouble. You know, a lot of people will move to another city to get more money, but they never ask God. We're talking about the Christians now. We ain't talking about sinners. Sinners do what sinners do. And you're foolish to expect the sinner to act righteous. We're talking about people that are saved. You know, the enemy will throw money at you to get you out of position. Yeah. The enemy will give you a position in church to get you out of position. Well, you don't know. You don't understand how deceptive he is. But anyway, don't chase after money. This is very important. God has ordained you to work in certain places. I call it this. You have what's called a God job. He's ordained you to do something before the world was founded. It's a God job. It's God's job for you. And that job is for you to do it because you're able to extend God's kingdom in that sphere or realm that he's placed you in. So you're there to share Jesus and expand the kingdom. That's the purpose of that job. You were created to do it. And all the money and the resources you need will come to you. Grace and favor, because you're doing what he created you to do before the world was founded. But you'll never, a lot of people know they want to do something different, but you know, they really, what you really want to do is to do that God job that's on the inside of you, your dream seed. But you can't get there because you think that you can get it through your self effort and works. It don't work that way. God puts you in positions, let me say it this way. God puts a dream in you that you can't fulfill. Why? So that you understand that it's him that's going to do it and not you. And so it's going to take faith to do it. You have to trust, learn to trust God. And trust is a learned behavior. Glory to God. This is the Holy Ghost. Listen to, let him minister to you. Trust is a learned behavior. Learning to trust God. What is faith? Faith is simply trusting God. Well, that takes time to learn, to develop, and to grow by faith, trusting God. See what I'm saying? It doesn't work. Faith is not an intellectual thing. It's a heart faith thing. And you learn to trust him over time. So there's things that God knows that you don't have faith for because you haven't grown or developed to that place of trusting him. Praise the Lord. It starts with the small things. Starts with starting small and it grows. Everything starts small. Maybe we talk about the seed. Don't despise the seed. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. Your faith is going to start small. A lot of people don't fulfill their divine purpose and plan that God has for them because you want grandiosity. You got to start. You can't be ashamed to start small. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on. The love of money overrides love for God and humanity. So the love of money overrides love for God and humanity. Greed, desire, and unethical pursuits is the root of all kinds of evil. It becomes the root of all kinds of evil. When money or power becomes our pursuit above God, it leads to destruction. I'm going to say this. Same with ministry. When your ministry is more important than your personal growth and development, you're on the way to destruction. All right. We find true gain, peace, and lasting joy. But when godliness and contentment is our pursuit, when godliness and contentment, what does that mean? You're content with being godly. That godliness is your contentment. That's what makes you happy above all else. Because if I don't have my godliness, I'm going to split hell wide open. I didn't want to talk about this, but the young man that lost his coaching position, my heart goes out to him. Like, what, Larry? Yeah. With your deep religious sales. It amazes me how everybody got something to say about the fella. Come on, man. This is what salvation is about. Is, you know, you don't, he doesn't know Jesus. He doesn't understand the importance of living godly. And so that's what happens when you don't live a godly lifestyle. The enemy will let you rise to the top. He'll pull the rug out of you. Man, it's like your lack of integrity and character is like carrying a keg of gunpowder under your arm with a hole in it. And everywhere you go, that gunpowder is just dripping behind you. And the enemy waits to that moment to light that gunpowder and blow everything up in your life. So our integrity and our godliness is above our wealth. Do you understand that? That's why a lot of people, God doesn't raise people up to certain prominent positions, because he knows that their character can't keep them there. And that's why he makes you start small. I want to go to a big church. Well, that's your problem. I got a ministry. Why don't you serve at a smaller ministry first? Because you can't be seen. See what I'm saying? It starts showing you your heart, your true heart. I ain't preaching on them. I'm telling you what God does with my heart. He does things on purpose to shape your character. Because if you don't have godliness as your contentment, if he loves us enough to not allow us to get to places that we can't stay. And, you know, I'm not practicing sin. I know you're not practicing sin and stuff like that. But there's little things. It's the small foxes that spoil the vine. And like I told you, he wants to get all that junk out of us so that a pure gospel of Christ Jesus can really be in us. You know, and we have a pure commitment to living godly unto him. Not for fame, not for fortune, not to be seen, but it's pure. We purely want people to meet Jesus. Mm-hmm. I know that's my passion in my heart. You know, I want people to know who they are in Jesus above all else. You know, people ask me, there's people I've met, you know, I know people that are looking for church homes. I don't invite them here. You know why? I tell them because it's not about coming here. It's about knowing Jesus. And once you know Jesus, Jesus will tell you where you fit. And they'll, you know, if they're called to be here, they'll come. I am confident he'll tell them where they belong. And the people that he has for our ministries, he'll talk to them. But we got to stop the manipulation in the pulpit. Your whole motive is to get people to join your church. And God doesn't want us to have that. That hour is over. Our motive has to be you want them to have a pure relationship with Christ. Amen. Jesus. So you don't twist their arms and all that stuff and come up with all these programs to keep people. No. If Jesus is not keeping them, they're not going to be kept. Alrighty. So when money and power becomes our pursuit above God, it leads to destruction. But when godliness and contentment is our pursuit, that's our desire, we find true gain, peace, and lasting joy. This positions us to be empowered by God, to be positioned, to be placed as his instruments of justice and for hurting people. Well, I didn't prove anything. I was tired. Well, I wasn't tired. I did good. I did it on Saturday and I rest. Anyway, praise the Lord. The true prosperity message is about God blessing us and meeting our needs in abundance. Listen to what I'm saying. Still talking about living from the inside out. But prosperity is an inside issue, not an outside issue. So when you're chasing prosperity on the outside, you get yourself in trouble. But when you're seeking to live a word-controlled life on the inside concerning prosperity and wealth, you're going to be all right. All righty? So true prosperity message is about God blessing us and meeting our needs in abundance. Why? Because he loves us. He doesn't want us broke. He don't want us vaguely. But he don't want us chasing money either. Praise the Lord. But he does not want us to be controlled, suppress, or place under the pressure of wicked spirits that influence human greed. Remember, Jesus was tempted on the mountain with wealth. Took him up on the mountain, the pinnacle, and showed him all the wealth of the world, said he would give it to them. Well, first of all, Jesus knew who he was. Amen. He understood that the wealth was his. He created all the resources, so he wasn't going to bow down to the lordship of the devil because he was the Lord. He had to tell him, Get thee by, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord. He was his Lord.
Hallelujah.
See, I you know, my that's my wife. That's her scripture. You know who Jesus was. But, you know, so you can't be tempted by that stuff. So, anyway, so what happens, see, devil wants to control you with money and power. That's what's wrong with the politicians today. It's about money and power. That's why they won't do things right. Because, you know, rich people got them in their pocket. And people like that are no good for anything. Because it's all about them. They're not serving the people. They're serving their own pocketbooks. Mm-hmm. And they get a little group of people that don't understand it. And just, you know, anyway, we won't go into that. I don't want to get into politics. So the enemy, what he does is he empowers people to prosper, meaning God. He empowers people to prosper and takes the place of ungodly people. So he wants us to get integrity and be word controlled on the inside so that he can position us and prepare us and trust us with resource. The purpose of money is to help people with it, not to suppress and hurt people with it.
Amen.
Do you understand what I'm saying? This is very important. There's going to be a prosperity explosion in this place. Glory to God. There's going to be a prosperity explosion. And the purpose of that wealth is to help people, not hurt people. All righty. This is often referred to as the wealth transfer. When the wicked are in power, the people groan, they moan. But when righteous are the just are in authority, the city rejoices. As it says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked man rules, people groan. Proverbs 29:2. So the wealth of the sinner is being stored up for the righteous. So the reason wicked people lose their jobs and do stuff and go batty is because God is looking to put a righteous person in that position, a person that truly serves him, that God controls their heartstrings, that they're living from the inside out, and they're going to make righteous decisions for the people that they are serving. All righty, section two. We've been here 20 minutes. Section two, abiding in the word to live godly. Abiding in the word. Why? To live godly. That's why we abide in the word. Not to prove we are religiously astute and astound. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, even. What are you working on? You're working on yourself to stay with a heart that is controlled by the word. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What's the word of truth? Jesus. Somebody asked me that. What's the word of truth? Jesus. The truth is a person. So you have to rightly divide Jesus to people. Tell people who they are and what they have in Jesus. All right. So to live godly, our deepest desire and motive must be to abide in the word of godliness. Are for godliness sake. So we abide in the word for godliness sake. So that it may, what? Go well with us. I know I'm saying the same thing. See, it's not deep. This is how the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Going over the same thing so you can see it and understand it. So we do it so it'll go well with us. God is not looking for outward performance or empty rituals. He is looking for people who truly desire his holiness. We must be like David, who sought God with a sincere and changed heart. He sought God to have a sincere and changed heart. I know people always talk about, you know, the heart is desperately wicked. Well, yeah. That's why he sent Jesus to give us a new heart. So that message is not for saved people. That's for sinners. See, that message will bring condemnation to you because you still think your heart is wicked. No. When you got born again, you got born of his righteousness.
Amen.
Your new born again spirit wants to live right for real. If not, you ain't born again. You long to live godly. You want his help. That's why you go to the throne to obtain help. Just like being on, like I told you, we are on Team Jesus and we show up to practice. Why? To learn the plays? Because we want to get better, proficient. Glory to God. At it. You understand what I'm saying? That's why we sit in the seats in the fellowship. And we have notes because we are always reviewing and going over and maintaining. At least we forget how to live godly. We get ourselves in situations at work and stuff like that challenge us, our flesh to rise up.
Amen.
And you know, the purpose of godliness is learn how to be word controlled and to dominate your flesh nature. Oh man, in the book of Genesis, Cain who killed Abel, God said that sin lieth at the door, but you shall have dominion over him. Read it. See, that's what it means to live godly, to take dominion over your old flesh sin nature, to take this body and make it line up and do godly things. But you need strength from your spirit to suppress and beat down your flesh nature to make it obey the scriptures. See, this is taking you away from religion, ain't it? And it's getting you back into relationship, because that's really what it's all about. See, the head means nothing if the word is not in the heart. It means nothing. I don't care how well a reverend can preach. Can you teach me how to live right? See, I ain't hearing that over the pulpit. I hear beating people up. You got to live right. Tell me how. I know I got to live right, but if you can't give me practical applications on how to do it, I don't think you know how to do it. Now, that's just from the GED section, you know. I mean, I did graduate from high school, but you know. Abiding in the word is not about gaining knowledge alone. It is about being transformed and changed and changing of our hearts by the word. Godliness is the prerequisite of receiving the blessings of God. You see that? And without a genuine pursuit for holiness, the promises of God cannot be fully experienced in our lives. It's important you understand that. You got to have a pursuit for holiness. Now, you are holy because he says you are holy. Now, you have to abide in that holiness by abiding in the word. You have good success when you abide in the word. We got to stop. You got to stop ever learning but never getting into the knowledge of the truth. Running after this deep revelation that ain't deep. It's just distractions. Because of the way they worded it. Oh, that, you know, so you're running. Oh, man. I'm just telling you, man. If a person is not seeking, and some people got this stoic look that they have, like, you know, like they really know something, they deep, and people just gravitate. Oh man, he's so holy. Oh, stop that. If a person is not seeking to abide in the word with this as the primary reason, meaning to be godly, they are deceived. So you're deceived if that's not your primary reason for even going to church. I mean, what are you going for? Because you got a position? Well, you stupid. You're going for the wrong reason. And we've been there, done that. That ain't why we're going. Because we get to sit on the stage and people, you know, make us feel good because we got a collar around our neck and we get up to read the Bible and say, stop all that. The word is given to change us from the inside out. I'm saying that again. The word is given to change us from the inside out. I'm saying it again. The word is given to change us from the inside out, shaping our hearts and motives towards righteousness. So that's what it means to live a word-controlled life. It's living from the inside out as the word changes us. The word changes us. Yeah. The word changes us. The power of that cross, the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead, is on the inside of us, and it quickens our mortal flesh. It empowers us to live godly. But if no one's teaching you how to do it, you're not going to be able to do it. If you're not hearing that on a consistent, regular basis, not in a condemning way, but in an encouraging way, in a how-to-do-it way, you won't be able to do it. That's my job. As scripture says, little children, this is so important. Little children, do not be deceived. You see that? Do not be deceived. He who practices righteousness is righteous. That word practice means maturity. He that practices righteousness, you're not practicing righteousness just because you're going to church. Practicing righteousness, do you take notes? Did you hear anything that can help you grow today? That's my goal. Hopefully you're growing and you're seeing something. Okay, I'll leave that alone. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. Just as he is righteous. That's 1 John 3:7. It says, so to abide in the word is to live transformed, practicing righteousness daily, and allowing God's truth to govern every part of their life. So most people... If I talk to most people, and I'm not trying to put nobody on the spot, you know, I ask them, What word are you standing on? What word are you meditating on that changed your life? What is God dealing with you this week or for the last month? You ask me, I can tell you right now, right off the top of my head, I'll be bam. Oh, right now he's dealing with me with some things about faith. He's dealing with me with some things about prayer. He's dealing with me on some areas that I've been missing it and not hasn't been doing certain things in releasing my faith properly. He's been dealing with me some things about the spirit of manipulation. He's been dealing with me some things with about the spirit of low self-esteem and self-worth. He's been dealing with me with some things about you cannot go into the promised land with a grasshopper mentality. Now, what is God dealing with you on? No, I'm see what I'm saying? This is what helps you. I may not say all of it over the pulpit, but there's always something God's dealing with us in our heart of. Now watch this. What word are you meditating on to empower you to be successful in whatever it is that he's dealing with you in? See, most people are not being letting the whole, they don't even know, I'm going to teach this. They don't even know how to sit down and spend time in the word to let the Holy Spirit minister to them. Because you're just going to church to be preached to and hear something. Reverend, man, he talked good. Listen here. It ain't going to work until you get serious about these scriptures and reading the Bible. Brother Larry, I want you to pray for me. What are you praying for? Well, I'm going through all this. Are you in the Bible? What scripture are you standing on? What word have you been meditating on? Well, there's your problem. I can pray all day, but until you desire to change and get that word in your heart and let the word dwell in you richly, I am wasting my time praying for you. Because that person doesn't have a desire to change. You don't have a desire to do what the word says do. You're not hungry and thirst for righteousness. So now we got to come up with programs to twist like a pretzel to get you to stay in church. But the real problem is, the reason why you're not staying in Jesus is because you're not abiding in Jesus. And you're looking for answers from the church. And the answers are not in the church. The answers are in Jesus. But if the church ain't teaching you Jesus, that's why you ain't getting no answers. Serving in church doesn't change your heart. Reading the Bible and doing what it says and believing it and meditating on it is what changes us. And so a pastor that teaches you how to live this thing for real, well, that's not exciting to me. I want to hear something exciting. Well, that's why you struggle and things happen. You have to get a diet. You have the desire to eat. Either you got to have a desire to have a healthy diet of teaching about Jesus before you ever see any change in your life. And I'm saying that boldly. When you get a healthy diet to hear good teachings about Jesus, that's when things will change. Understanding will pop wide open on the inside of you. All that other, you're going to realize, man, I am not hearing the gospel. The word gospel means good news. It's the good news of what Jesus has already done for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And all that other stuff, you go, man, that was foolishness. It was distractions by religious systems. And a lot of people don't understand that they're being distracted. Okay. Oh, where am I at? I'm sorry. I'm not sorry about that because I want you to know the truth. That's why I left the church, because I wasn't hearing about Jesus. Let's talk about that. I wasn't hearing about Jesus. I was hearing about all these other things. Well, you got to do all this other stuff to be right with God. No, I'm right with God because I believe in Jesus. Oh, man. So I'm trying to be right when I'm already right all that time. Well, you got to serve in the church. No. I need to serve Jesus. I need to get to know my Savior. And he'll tell me what to do for him. And what I do for him is what makes me a better person. Because he's working through me. I'm not working for him. Oh, Lord, get this. Jesus works through me. I don't work for him. He works out of me. He serves people through me. I don't serve people through myself. And when you get that, that's when your life will change. Martha. Grace, section 3, grace to help in the time of need. We've only been here 32 minutes. I'm doing really good. Give me about 9-10 more minutes here. 12 minutes. Grace is the product of God's love for us. We cannot earn it. Say this. Grace is a product of God's love for us. We cannot earn it. It is not merited, meaning we can't work for it. Because love cannot be earned. Do you understand that? It is freely given. Love is freely given. God is love. 1 John 4:8 says, and because he so loved the world, he gave us Jesus. John 3:16. When Paul was weak, Jesus said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect, what? In your weakness. See what I'm saying? So grace is for our weakness. See, you can't earn it. Why? Because it's for our weakness. So a lot of people got the wrong definition of grace. Are they added? They added something to it that wasn't a part of the definition or the heart of what God meant by grace. Grace is God's strength in our weakness. It is his provision when we can't provide for ourselves. See, Jesus was the sacrifice for all of humanity. Man couldn't provide his own sacrifice. God provided it for him. That's God's grace. They couldn't earn it. They couldn't kill enough sheep to get right with God. God provided the sacrifice, which is Jesus. And when we accept the grace of God's sacrifice, Jesus, for us, we get blessed in life. And we continue to go and get help in the time of need. We go boldly. Father, I need help. Amen. I need help. I'm struggling in this area. Oh, hey, some of you are struggling in areas because you won't go to God and say, God, I need help. Help me. Instead, you're trying to do it through your own ability and you're getting condemnation, guilt, and shame. That's denying the power of the cross. The cross releases the grace to help you do what you couldn't do. Man, I'll say that again. The cross of Christ Jesus releases the grace to help you do what you couldn't do. There's things I couldn't do. And I'm talking about, I mean, I was addicted to pornography. I needed to get free. I had to get help. God, help me. Break this thing out of me. You hear what I'm saying? And see, a lot of preachers won't preach that way to you. Well, how did he do it? He told me to bind and loose. He told me to look at Job and begin to quote that. Get that weaved in my spirit. I shall not look at a woman to desire her. And it's amazing. You know, I can see pretty women. And you know, I just walk, you know, it just, your eyes are just closed in certain, when you look at certain parts. I can't even figure it out. It just changed me. And I don't have that desire. In fact, it makes me sick inside when the thought tries to come. I rebuke. That's repulsive to me because he's cleaned me from the inside out. Now, a lot of preachers won't stand there and tell that to you. You know why? Because they're not seeking God's deliverance. They don't tell you that because they're on the pedestal. See, they're on the pedestal. And, you know. But see, my thing is, when I listen to preachers, what you've been delivered from, Reverend? I don't care how many degrees you got. I don't care how many college ivories. I don't care. What have you been delivered from? I'm talking about sin issues that you struggled with in life. And if you can't teach me how you got delivered, you ain't delivered from them. You just know how to hide them real good under your pretty robes and your pretty speech. And then when they fall, people go, well, how come? And then people get church hurt because you're looking at people and you're not looking at Jesus. And you don't know what to listen for. You don't know what to listen for. You know, I was thinking about. Never mind. Oh, man. Glory to God. So as you can see, we are invited to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Yeah. So grace cleanses us through strength and empowers us to live godly. And I'll share something with you that's going to change your life. A person that lives right for real is not afraid to shame the devil about issues of life. Why do you talk so boldly about those things of lust and perversion? Because I ain't scared of it. You see the difference? I've been delivered from that. So I know the stronghold. I was sexually molested and raped, and that releases spirits in people. And so I've been through that. I know it's real. And so I'm bold about it. But it ain't real. Well, you know what? You can't tell me that the delivering power of Jesus ain't real when I'm walking here delivered. And I'm going to tell people how to get free from that junk. But you want to hear something pretty and polished, but you don't want to get dealt with the real issues. And the beautiful thing about the church, let me show you what's beautiful about the church. You can sit there and get your deliverance. You can get a washing. I see this in the spirit. You can get washed in the spirit. You can get washed. You can be in the washing machine, cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, all the agitation, cha-cha-cha-cha, soap and all that, and all of a sudden it starts going and spinning around. You're sitting right there in that church, sitting right there in that pew in the fellowship, you know, getting cleansed. God is dealing with all those issues in your life, talking, because Reverend talking about them, Brother Larry talking about them, I'm Brother Larry today, and you getting cleansed by saying, Lord, help me, yeah, Lord, I see that, yeah, I see how to do it, and you don't tell nobody. You don't tell nobody you had that problem. Because you don't have to. That's my job. That's my job. Because I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of my deliverance. You can't talk me out of it. See the difference? And that's the type of man of God I like listening to. So I like listening to BW. You know, he's talking about all that hate and stuff that he had growing up in the South when he couldn't drink at the water fountain, because I had hate and all that anger problems with the church and stuff like that. And so I listen to people that tells me how God delivered them and what they had to do. So all the pretty speech and the robes and oh man, that don't help you. That don't help you. I mean, live from a changed spirit and heart on the inside. Now, they puff up your head with a bunch of information so you can give a glorified book report. But a living report, that's a different type of ministry there. And the devil don't want nobody to come here. Because if you come here, you're going to get set free from those things. You're going to get set free from your heartache and your pain. You're going to get set free from any issue you went through from your childhood. You're going to get set free from all that stuff. I don't care how old you is. You just old enough to cover it up better. But you're still struggling with stuff behind the closed doors. And that's okay. Well, it's not okay, but I understand. You ain't got to tell nobody. Just sit there and just be quiet and say amen. Good preaching. Say good preaching, Brother Larry. Good preaching. Good preaching, Pastor. Good teaching. Good. That's how you wash us up. You wash us by the water of the word and show you how to get the fullest soap of the Holy Ghost to cleanse you, doggone it. It's one thing to keep pointing out people's problems, but until you can teach them how to get cleansed by the Holy Ghost, you are preaching a condemning message to them. And people sitting there all day beating themselves up. And that's why you go through that self-degradation and looking down on yourself, sitting there in church talking about your problems. And yeah, this, oh, shut up. Jesus has set you free from that stuff. He's delivered you and healed you and set you free. Glory to God. Well, that's what he wanted to talk about that today. It is vital to understand this definition of grace, okay? Grace is the product of God's love. To say someone doesn't deserve grace is to say they do not deserve God's love. To deny God's love is to deny God himself. This is a misunderstanding of grace. They added something to it. Grace means you can't earn it. It didn't say you can't, don't deserve it. See, it's not based on earning merit or deserving merit. It's based on his love for you. That's the only reason he gives it to you. Think about it. You got this child, your own child. You say, well, you know, you deserve to go to hell. But, you know, you don't deserve to eat today, but I'm going to feed you. Okay. No. You did something wrong because you didn't know no better. And even if you did know better, there's some issues that's inside of you that we need to help get out of you. But no one deserves to go to hell. They go to hell because they don't receive Jesus and they don't want to live godly. But you're going there because you don't want to live godly. There's no other place for him to send you. Just like in the natural. People go to jail because they don't want to behave right. Yeah, they get behind and they cry, mama, mama. We've been trying to tell you, stop acting like a fool. Let me finish this. I know this messes the religious minds up, but God dealt with me on this. That's not the proper definition of grace. I know what they're trying to say, but you got to start saying it right. This is the manifestation of grace. God's intent was to show humanity that nothing within ourselves can make us right with make us righteous. That's what he's saying. Nothing you can do to make you righteous. For by grace, you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See that? It's not of your The reason it's not of works, because you are brag. And that's what religious people do. They brag about how intellectual they are. They brag about their degrees. See, and it wasn't a faith. Because God don't want you. You can't boast about it. See, if you boast about it, it means it's about you, what you did. See, grace is about God's love. God loves us because he's love. When I married my wife, I loved her. I remember when I fell in love with her. We was down on the boat down on the river in Cincinnati over the Kentucky side. We're sitting there having dinner, and I looked in her eyes. I'll never forget it. I looked in her eyes, and I fell in love. I can remember that moment when I looked in her pretty eyes, and I said, man, I'm done. I mean, I was toast. You understand what I'm saying? But there was nothing I could do to get her to love me. There was nothing she did to get me to love her. I just do. People ask me, why you love you? I don't know. I just do. Why? Because it's a spiritual thing. Love is a spiritual thing. You really can't explain it. You just do. Okay. Now, you do good things for people to show your love, but it's not earning. I couldn't make her love me, and she couldn't make me love her. I just do. And then you start, you know, you grow like, man, why you love me? I can't even give her. I don't know, baby. I just do. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, meaning you didn't do it in your own ability. It is a gift from God, not of works. Why? Not of works, meaning you couldn't merit it. You didn't earn it. Least you should boast. Read the scriptures. Our sin nature is inherited. It is inherited. It is not our fault. Yet we must desire him to change us. God will not violate our will. Did you see that? So we must seek him to help us. God will not violate our will. So we must seek him to help us and transform us. This does not happen by works. It's by faith and his grace to do for us what we cannot do on our own. He asks us to abide in his word. And if we abide in that word seed, it's going to grow and become. Our job is to keep the weeds out. Our job is to stay before the mirror of the word, and it transforms our life. So that's an act of our will. Why? Because all these other things is going around distracting our attention. Mm-hmm. But going home and getting that word, to meditate on that word, is like taking medicine. I got to take my medicine. I got to take my breathing treatment. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? We're doing the natural thing necessary so that the spiritual thing can be a reality in our life. But we're not earning it. It's all grace. So you do deserve the love of God. You do deserve God's grace, because grace is a manifestation of his love doing for you what you couldn't do for yourself. But you just have to make a choice to receive it. That's it. That's it. Well, Brother Larry, I sinned. Yeah, you did. You know why? Because you have sin in your nature, the flesh nature, your flesh nature. When you got born again, your spirit was dead. It couldn't commune and connect with God. So all you had was your flesh nature to go by, your soul man. But when you got born again, you came back alive to God. Now you can have dominion over your flesh as you abide. And it begins to be an act of the will, yielding to your new man on the inside that takes dominion on the old man on the outside. You keep him crucified. You keep him dead. But you can't do it if you don't get in that word. You can't do it if you don't hear the word on a regular basis. You can't do it if you don't cleanse yourself with the washing of the water of the word. See what I'm saying? So it's still the power of God doing it. Now, if you willfully sin, well, you better start reading the Bible. Because if you good and saved and you saved, you know, you're going to go to hell. Why? Because you're doing it by choice now. Now, there's a sin that it was the book of John. There's a sin that you can pray for a person as long as it's not a sin unto death. There's sins unto death. That's because you know better. And you override the Holy Spirit. You've tasted the power of the world to come. So you know it's real. But now you intentionally, willfully go to the dark side, Darth Vader. You understand? So this thing gets serious. Those are the ones are going to go to hell, and they deserve to go there. because you willfully chose. For someone that doesn't know and they're young and they're growing, they don't know no better. So we help them and groom them. And I know people say, Brother Larry, that's out of that. No, it's not. There's no scripture that says that you don't deserve the grace of God when you understand what grace is. All right, that's enough of that. This is why it's important to meditate. What time is it? Ah, man. We're going to stop. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word today. Give them revelation, knowledge, and understanding in everything I'm saying so that they don't walk in condemnation. So you're walking condemnation. There's a people that don't think they deserve to be healed because of the sin that they did. No. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with his love. You deserve his love. And when he shows you his love, grace and his love and mercy comes across to you to make you not want to sin anymore. That's why he draws you with loving kindness to deliver you from the desire to sin anymore. Oh, glory to God. When you know you did it and you're like, man, I know that, you know, this is a product of my disobedience. And he helps you anyway. Why did he help you? Because he loves you. Just like you love, like you help your children that do something wrong and they knew better. It's called mercy and grace. And he's hoping you learn from it so you don't do it again, goofnagles. Father, I'm done. I minister to the best of my ability. Help your people understand that you love them and give them a desire to live from the inside out, abiding in this word so that it can change them and make them into the beautiful people that they are as your children. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.